Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Apopo, Head Pastor of Grace Hope Chapel. Do you need direction in life? Are you yearning for a closer walk with God? Are you desiring to be fruitful? The Word of God provides the answers. Feast on God's Word and let the grace of God envelop you as you listen to this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I read a long passage, verse 1 to 14. Let's read 1 to 14, everybody. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him. You can align that, that's your Bible, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. You can underline this also if this is your Bible. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar that made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, underline this one also if it's your Bible. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support the two of them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Underline this scripture in your heart, or in your Bible if you have it. Let's read it again. Verse 8. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lord lifted up his eyes, saw the plain of Jordan, that it was all well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. At the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. Then Lord chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. The Lord journeyed this, and they separated from each other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lord dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even near Sodom. 13. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. 14. Finally, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lord had separated from him, lift up your eyes now, and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, and westward. Let's add 15. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Lord, help me. I may have to cut my message into two because of time, but just follow me carefully. You'll be blessed. Now, we have been dealing with the subject matter of walking in the footsteps of Father Abraham. And so far, we have looked at some very powerful steps that this great man took that is worth emulating. Some powerful steps he took that made him a great man that today, Muslims, Christians, Jews are all honoring him. You know, when you read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, there's a powerful scripture, the basis of which I am doing this teaching. And as I conclude, I want to touch on that scripture. And I want everybody to look at it. He says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their what? Conduct. I heard a great man of God said, the Bible says we should only follow Jesus. Yes! Jesus ultimately is the one we follow. But the Bible says when you see a great leader, a pastor, a person who preaches the word of God, and you look at the outcome of his conduct, you can also follow his faith. You can also operate like him. You can learn and emulate some of his steps because they are steps of faith. Consider the outcome of their conduct and follow. Remember your leaders, your rulers. And Abraham is one such man you can follow. Especially, not everything about Abraham. The only person we follow everything about is Jesus. But apart from him, you look at a great man and you follow the positive steps of faith. Now many people mistaking that. They follow David whole line and sinker. You sleep with somebody's wife and kill the husband. If you follow Abraham and you follow him whole line and sinker, you miss out on something. You may sleep with your maid one day. They are not the ultimate. But hear me. The Bible says, follow their faith. So we are not following Abraham whole line and sinker. It's only Jesus we follow ultimately. But the Bible says you can look at a great man's life and the outcome. Many years ago, I preached on this and I said, look at me and serve God. And I was confident because I saw that the outcome of my life is a good one for somebody to look and emulate. Is that a good place to put our hands together for the Lord? Yeah. Follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. So here, we are trying to follow Father Abraham and we have looked at the certain steps of Father Abraham that we all need to follow. For instance, we have looked, number one, at his household life, his home life. Number one, his family life. And we said it was very important. That's the first one we spoke about. Very crucial. Because many people, their outward looks good, but your home, your wife says you don't respect. Your wife says, your husband says, that woman is rude. Your brothers can't trust your Christianity. They say, oh, sorry, you know. But the household of Father Abraham was where he began. He ordered his family in the way of the Lord. So that was the first thing we learned about Father Abraham. Number two, we learned about his love for souls when he went to rescue this young man called Lot. His love for souls and for people. Number three, we talked about his generosity. The way he was a giver. He gave tithe. He gave to strangers. He gave to people, poor people. He gave to needy. He gave to his co-workers. He didn't take advantage of them. He was a great giver. And great giving is where true living starts. I said that. Then number four, we looked at his mindset. The fact that he lived on earth, but he was heavenly minded. He was ultimately looking for a city and a home whose maker is God. Number five, we looked at his belief system. And Abraham believed God. And we said believing is the starting point of our Christian walk. This whole Christian walk is about believing. Then last week, we dealt with his prayer life. Now this morning, I want to zoom straight to the seventh step that we should follow about Father Abraham. And of all the steps, ladies and gentlemen, in my own life, and probably in the life of Father Abraham, this is the most difficult. This is the toughest step. And many people are not able to come to the terms with this step. And probably the reason why many people don't eventually become great is the fact that they find it difficult to take this seventh step. This morning as I preach on it, I want to provoke you that when it comes to that point, may the Lord give you strength to be able to do what you are born to do in order to get to where you have to get to. So that's the seventh point. So you can title this series, Seven Steps to Greatness, to becoming like Father Abraham. I don't know whether I'll finish this last step today, but I'm going to attempt because it's a very important step in life, yet very tough for many. Well, before I touch on this seventh step, I want you to take note of something in verse 2 of this verse, Genesis 13:2. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't seem to amaze me, and I find it interesting that God is not apologetic about the prosperity of his children. God doesn't hide it. He was talking even about the relationship between Abraham and Lot, but he paused in verse 2 and made sure we knew that this guy was not an ordinary guy. He was not poor. He was rich. And not just rich. Bible, you know, because you see, religious people are very funny, Pastor Joe. If the Bible has said Abraham was very rich, I am sure a 21st century Christian might say he was rich in peace. He was rich in love. He was rich in the spirit. But the Bible didn't even say we should be rich in the spirit. The Bible said, blessed are the poor. When it comes to the spirit, you must be poor. But when it comes to the flesh, physically, you must be rich. May God prosper you. I say, may God prosper you. Hear me. And Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. The Bible even specifies, so you don't second guess, and say he was rich in happiness. Can I preach? Hello? You know, because sometimes people say, this money thing, my friend. Yeah, this is a great follower of God. And I've read my Bible, Ellen, and I've not seen one, check through, Old Testament, one that really followed God and remained poor. I've not seen one. David said, I've been young and I'm old, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. I declare to you, your children will not beg for bread. Otherwise, you have to throw the Bible away. What's the use? I see God prospering you. I see you doing well. Tell John, the Apostle John, the beloved of Jesus, prays and say, I wish above all things that you prosper and be above all things. I said above all things. I said above all things and be in good health. Above all, may you prosper. The wisest man Solomon put it this way. He said, the blessing of the Lord maketh a man what? Rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh a man what? Is that in your Bible? And he added, no, I see you doing well. Oh, I say, I see you doing well financially. You see, somebody is like, these days, then, when you come to church, they only talk about money and prosperity. They don't talk about heaven. Azan, stop being hypocrite. You need money. You want to prosper. I know you want to go to heaven, but you want to prosper. Hear me. I checked my Bible. Hear me. And I can understand there's excesses in this prosperity teaching. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm a grace preacher, and I'm not shy about that. I don't really preach on prosperity, but the fact that it's not my central message does not mean it's not biblical. Can I talk to somebody here? I know some preachers are taking it too far. But hear me. It's biblical. It has its roots in the Bible. And I've quoted from Old Testament to New Testament to 3 John. And I can quote Revelations for you to know that when even you go to heaven, you will be walking on streets of gold. And may I suggest to you, I see you doing a rehearsal of that on earth here. I see that you, who am I prophesying to? Money will cease to be a problem to you. I see you walking on money. Oh, I'm prophesying to 15 people. But they are receiving it right now. Biblical. And Abraham was rich. And by the time we end in the story of Abraham, in Genesis chapter 24, the Bible says, and Abraham was blessed in every way. Another verse said, he was blessed in everything. I prophesy to your life, you will lack no good thing. I said, you will lack no good thing. In your lifetime, by the time your life is over, I see you blessed in every way. Financial blessing, academic blessing, social blessing, emotional blessing, financial, I believe, therefore I speak. Be blessed in every way. That was the story. And Abraham now was very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. I see that's your portion. And someone said, but that is only Abraham. Well, can I talk about his son? Are you a child of Abraham? His son, Bible says he became too prosperous. As for him, not as say. Look up and say, as say. He prospered and continued to prosper until he became very prosperous, until the people around him said, this is too much, this is crazy, we don't want this guy. Let's get him out of town. Can I talk to somebody here? May God prosper you. I said, may God prosper you, that even your enemies cannot handle the prosperity. Oh, I declare and I prophesy, Eric, this is your portion. Receive a prosperity that your enemies can't handle. Put your hands together for the Lord. It's also biblical. It was too much. Too much. Grandson Jacob. Hey, Bobo. Great grandson David. Abba. What are you talking about? Solomon. I say. These are the patterns of faith. I prophesy. Don't serve God and be poor. Don't serve God and die poor. It's an error. You go to heaven and hear that there was so much in store for you, which you didn't tap. I see that as you walk with God by faith, you also prosper in this life. Put your hands together for the Lord. You will prosper. In gold, in silver, in livestock. Mention specifics. So you don't think it's prosperity somewhere. Hallelujah. But hear me. His son prospered also. What is even shocking is his servants or people around him. Lot, his cousin. People who just associated with him. Is it verse 5? Go to verse 5. Everybody say Lot also. Who went with Abraham? Had flocks and herds. And tent, verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them, that they may dwell together, for their possessions were so great. Listen, it was not only his biological children and his grandchildren who were receiving the grace to prosper, but even people who associated with Father Abraham received a share of the prosperity. Can I preach to somebody here today? I declare by faith, as a servant of the Most High God, anybody that associates with this grace, anybody that associates with this commission, I declare you will not remain poor forever. Your story is changing. Oh, the other time I preached on grace connection. May it fall upon you. Favor is my association. The same God that has been gracious to us, that with nothing, he has brought us this far. I,
I see that same grace hitting your life. You will smile before you die.
This morning I called my parents. They were thanking me for something I have done. I said, enjoy, mama and papa. Enjoy. You have suffered enough. You have suffered. We have been in a place where we were staying in one room. 8 kids. 2 parents. Almost 10 people. If you want to go and wee wee, I have to jump on my father. Jump on my mother. Say, excuse me, brother. Excuse me, sister. Excuse me, cousin. Before I just go and wee wee. In a public toilet and a public bathroom. But by the grace of God, God can bring you to a point. Hear me. God can bring you to a point. You forget your tears. You forget your sorrow. Because if you walk with this God, it's a walk of faith, but also a walk of prosperity. I see laughter coming to you. I said, mommy, don't thank me. Don't thank me. This thing is about connection and association. The womb that gave birth to me cannot remain to struggle. She will also be blessed because I am blessed of God. Listen, may you be blessed. It will affect your father. It will affect your mother. It will affect your cousins. It will affect your house help. Listen, your house help that lives in your house, may he receive the prosperity.
Yesterday, we met somebody who has lived with us for 7 years. She's now working in Parliament House. She served as a maid in our house. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Against all odds. Today she has a master's. I don't have my master's. So I saw her. She was looking so glamorous. I said, what? You? She said, daddy, I can't. When she calls me a private number. The number. I said, private number. I said, that's the number I've been given at Parliament. From SA. Oh my goodness. Who am I prophesying to? The goodness of God will look good on you. God will favor you and help you in this life. As long as you walk with this God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, he will prosper you. Put your hand. I've not seen one. So I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I have a problem with people that say, don't preach prosperity. Then I don't know the Bible they are reading. Acts 2, the early church. Bible says God blessed them so much that there was none poor amongst them. First church, none poor. I declare that grace upon grace fills. I say I declare that grace upon grace fills. May none in this house. Yeah. You can't stay in this house. You can't stay in this house. And Jehovah God will forget you. Favor is my association. And I release the builder's anointing upon your life. I release the traveler's anointing upon your life. Just as we build this thing without load. I see you building schools. Building hospitals, building orphanages without loan. Listen, you will build your house without loan. Kalamasutaya, receive this grace upon your life. You will do it with sweatless effort. Every day we are hearing a testimony in this house. Every day God is supplying supernaturally. It's amazing. It's like we are a 5,000 member church. But God is doing what he has promised to do. Even with a few of us. Because favor is my association. Receive your share. I said, receive your share. I said, receive your share. Paul said, you have become partakers of my grace. Become a partaker of this grace. I said, become a partaker of this grace. It works, and the glory will look good on you. Put your hands together for the Lord. I have about 5 minutes to close. I'm now going to my main subject, but it's okay. Somebody needed this encouragement, didn't you? Hear me. Hear me. And Lot went with him, verse 5. This phrase, it runs through Abraham's life. Genesis 12:4 is there again. And Lot went with him. Genesis 31. And Lot went with him. I know you want to serve God. I know you are serving God, but what is going along with you? What is partnering you in your service of God? What have you carried along
in your worship of God that you shouldn't carry along? What is the excess baggage that although you are born again, and God said, leave that society, that worldly life, and come and follow me. Yet, everywhere you see Abraham, you see a lot went with him. What is going with you? What has attached itself to you that is becoming a stumbling block to your progress? Today, we will deal a blow to that thing. I said we will deal a blow to that thing. Because it's a matter of life and death in this matter. It's a matter of between your destiny and your shame and your ordinariness. It's a choice you must make. And Lot attached himself to him. And listen, by attachment, he had also, he also prospered. Fine. Because if it, look, Abraham, when Abayu Akra died, Abayu and Banakra was blessed. Because he carries something. Do you understand? This is why wicked people want to sleep with their pastors. Shame on you. Anybody that will tempt any of my pastors, may the Lord deal with you. Hey. No, but the point is that if you carry whatever, listen, whatever you touch, whatever connects you also becomes blessed. So this guy attached himself to Abraham. God blessed beautifully. And yet there was a problem. Because originally, he wasn't meant to be there. Verse 7. Watch this. Lot also went, had flocks heads, and there was strife. This is the problem. Between the headsmen of Abraham's livestock and the headsmen. They are workers. Strife. Sometimes the pastors are okay. We are cool. And we are serving God. But somebody can whisper something to you. And that's the beginning of problems. Why don't you also preach? Is he the only preacher? Can you see his car that he's driving? Where is your car? Only a corner or your devil. He's stopping your destiny, but you can't see. And the herdsmen of Abraham and that of Lot began to strive. Problem. Prosperity is a year, but it comes with issues. That's what we must understand. And you must have the guts to deal with the challenges of prosperity. This is the balance some prosperity preachers don't bring to the gospel. It's good. It's from heaven. But it brought strife. And God cannot stand strife. Unfortunately, if you are not careful, when your wife starts prospering and you start prospering, why is she your problem between husband and wife? Because everybody thinks he's ogre. And the Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 16, don't forget this scripture. James chapter 3, verse 16. For where envy, go to KJV, let me see what KJV says. Everybody read. For where envying and strife is, there is what? There is what? And what? Every evil work. Anywhere that envy. Look at his suit. Look at mine. Look at her car. Look at mine. When you start envying and you start strifing, even among husband and wife, trouble is coming. Strife. God can't stand it because where there is strife, there is every form of evil. So Abraham could see that trouble is coming. See, the problem with many Christians is that they can't sense trouble from afar. They are not able to read what will happen 5 years from now. They miss out on their opportunities in life. But Abraham could see that the way these headsmen are hitting our heads together, or call Richard, or no, now I'm quite crazy. I don't want to different thing. Richard doesn't like you. Doesn't like you. You think he likes you?
That's why pastor took the position from you and gave to him. He was the one who hit your back. Then you sit back. You're better chairman. Then suddenly the devil begin to give you ideas. And you begin to dislike him. And you begin to envy. And you begin to strive. Listen, even in church, there are people who strive. Because sister not in channel. For what? Do you know her income? Do you know where she's coming from? Do you know how she gets the money? Are you on the same lane of life as he is? Please forget it. By the grace of God, I just don't have this trait in me to envy. I don't have it. And then I'm getting wise. Over here, doctor, your doctor Pell in Temo. With their brother Simon, my wife can be doctor, apostle, heavenly, whatever. I thank God for her life, but I also thank God for me. Reverend doctor, lady pastor, doctor. Fatai to sing in our bow also. And I preach. Strife is a big issue. And the moment it happened, and Abraham saw the traces coming, he said, I've got to make a decision. A very important decision. Crucial for my destiny. Difficult though, but I must make it. This morning, some of you are going to walk out from church and make some life-changing decision. Listen, somebody at the sound of my voice is about to delete a certain girl's number from your phone forever. Because as long as that girl is still in your confines, you will never reach the peak where God wants you to be. And you know it. Because you are doing well all the time until that girl appears in the sea. Hey, can I please? And here is you. Abraham's own cousin, Onina Nancy, after a while, God has even blessed them. But baby, do not. I must take a decision. I'm talking about the last step of separation. The ability to separate from things, no matter how tough it is. The ability to detach yourself and cut yourself off from certain people, from certain associations, from certain connections. It is a defining moment in your life. And hear me. It didn't happen in the life of Abraham once. It happened twice, at least, maybe more. But this is the first instance where he had to cut himself off. Verse 8. Please, let there be no. I don't want akasa akasa. I don't want strife, because every evil. Look, where there's strife, people can kill. I've seen churches where the general overseer is dead, and people have gone to juju to kill each other to be the next general overseer. Church, where there is strife, every form of evil. Every form of evil. No strife, brother, between me and your husband, for we are brethren. Watch this. They are not enemies. They are brethren. But baby, we must take strong decisions. Abraham was not saying Lot was a bad person. Neither was he wishing Lot destruction and evil. In fact, he prayed for Lot when Lot was in. He rescued him. You know that. I've taught on that. When he was in trouble. So the issue about the separation was not enmity. But it was a destiny moment. At this point. Verse 9. Watch this. It's not the whole land before. Please separate. Somebody say separate. Come on. Somebody say separate. This is the problem. the inability of most of us to separate ourselves from something. Some of you must stop using phones for 1 year. Hear me? You must stop using that phone for 1 year because pornography will destroy your life. Drop that yam. Drop it. And today, even some women are into pornography. What a shame. You are defacing your own womanhood. Can't you see? And you are watching your fellow girl naked and doing foolish things. Don't you know it's an insult to your womanhood? That things, look, this is a sharp knife, my friend. But you've got to cut it. There'll be a wound, but you have to cut it. There may even be a scar, but you've got to cut it. People may misinterpret you, but you've got to cut it. It may not look fair. You have to cut it. We are brethren. And watch it. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you take right, that's how determined Abraham was. He said, choose. See, people think that material things, no. The source of your blessing is not in material things. My own life, I've had to separate from things. Things that were dear to my heart. Yes, I couldn't sleep 3 months, but I had to. I had to because I knew it was time to cut it. Can I preach to somebody this morning? You've got to cut off. Listen, some of you, it may not be a person, it may be a habit. Others, it may not be a habit, but some association, some group of friends, some WhatsApp group you are in, you must exit now. I hear you say, but it's old boys association, but people put useless things there. And you don't know that the things you watch can defile your spirit. They just put things there. You are part of the old girls association, but by the time you click, you don't know, and you are reading useless and watching useless things. Hear me? There are things you need to cut. If you don't cut, you will not. And I'm telling you, Abraham had to do 2 separations, major separations. Maybe there were more. But major separations in this, that number 1 was this Lot. Number 2, maybe next time I'll talk on that, was with his own son, Ishmael. A part of his body there. But God said, let him go. Let it go. And Abraham was shaking. There are things that God will take away from you, shake. You will cry for months, but it's a blessing in disguise. Yesterday we went for an event in Accra. The person has written, second chances are rare. You may never get it again. Take it serious. Because he was losing something that he thought that was the end of his life. Sometimes it's a blessing in disguise. Some people must walk away from your life before you can become what you were born to be. And if you don't have that tenacity to look into that face and say, bye, fare thee well, I wish you well, but no more at this point. I pray for your process, but no more. Who said everybody you enter into a relationship with, you must end up in marriage with? Sometimes you must look at the eyeball to eyeball and say, I love you so much, I have to let you go. For true love allows people to go. I'm not talking about after marriage, I'm talking about relationships before marriage. Some people are hi, babies. It's leading you to your grave. This morning, God is calling us to do some cutting.
You take the left.
I'll take the right. What's the situation? What habit? What friendship that you need to cut? I pray God gives you the strength to. Because it might be tough. Two times this man has come to the same point of cutting, separating. Look, Christianity is also about separating. Come out from amongst them and be separated, and the Lord will receive you, and you become a son and a daughter. Touch no unclean thing. Sometimes you must separate. Somebody receive the grace for separation. I say somebody receive the grace for separation. Anytime that guy visits you, he talks about useless things. He takes you to a certain place. By the time he leaves you, you are drained. There's much nothing spiritual in you. Can't you see he's destroying your life? Can't you see? Abraham said, whatever you've got from me, it's okay, you take it. Go. I also take another direction. In fact, if you read the Genesis 21 account, Ishmael, verse 6, 7, thereabout says, and Abraham was distressed. The matter distressed him because this is my boy. I mean, when he affair and why you fell in the bone for money. Let it go. Let it go. Some of you want to marry if that guy, that sugar daddy doesn't live your life, the one you collect money from, if he doesn't live your life, you will never find a suitable partner. You see, you don't know that as long as that guy is hanging around you, unconsciously your body is speaking that you're occupied. See, what you think is that you say, I am smart. When I get the right person, I'll leave him. It will never come. Because they say your whole body language shows, your spirit communicates that somebody's in the picture. A married man is in the picture. As long as he's there, you will pray and fast and get altar. The right one won't come. Until you learn the power of separation. They said, thank you very much. But today, listen, a lady was in this day, one day came to me. Said, I'm going out with a married man. I said, pick your phone now. Call him. And say, it's over, sir. Do you know what she did? She called her and said, I am in my pastor's office. And my pastor says, I should break up with you. You see the problem people put us in? I'm sure that man is looking for me somewhere to slaughter me. But that's the price we pay for being what we do. He said, my pastor says I should break up with you. And she was crying. And the man said, is that what you are saying? I'm sure the man was saying, and we don't have the ability to cast. No, she left my place, came to church once, twice. She has stopped church. Because there is a certain lot in her life. And every one of us has a lot. And some of us, we have a lot in our life that must go in order to see the glory of God. What is your lot? What is mine? Today, we want to bid farewell to that lot. Because we want to embrace the goodness of God. We want to say, Lord, we are ready for the next line, the next level of blessing. And until you let go, you cannot have it. Abraham, maybe I'll talk about it if there's time. Abraham was distressed. Listen, your lot will distress you. How can you see when you come to church, you can't dance? There's a lot. You're holding on to something that can't let you be free. You've got to let it go. Some job. My mother, when she got born again, she was doing a cigarette sale that was bringing 100% profit in those days. Remember, that time many people wanted to be distributed of Rothman's cigarette.
My mother was one of the few in Ashanti region that had the allocation. One fine afternoon, they came to park, bringing the delivery of cigarettes. In fact, when the cigarettes came to our house, once my mother got born again, she couldn't even keep it one day. She would distribute, everything would go, and within 24 hours, she would have 100% profit. But the Holy Ghost began to work on her. And I know the Holy Ghost is working on somebody today. One day, my mother, they came ready to offload. My mother said, please have your allocation. They said, what? Do you understand what you are doing? Do you know how many people are queuing and lobbying for this? I said, you can give it to them. I'm a child of God. No more of this thing. No more. I don't want to sell this. Walk down. Today. Hear me. There's a lot in your life. You have to let it go. Look at the results of separating from Lot. As I close, as I'm led, I'll continue on this seventh point because it's crucial and difficult, but it's important. Separate yourself. Separate. God help us. Everybody lift up and say, God help me separate from what I have to separate. Verse 14. Time up, please, quick. Verse 14. And Lord lifted his eyes, saw the plain. No, 14, please. I'm ending. 1 minute. The Lord said to Abraham, afterward, Lot has what? Say afterward. Say after the separation. Until you separate, there are some things God will be holding on the chest. Stored up for you. Everybody read. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot has separated from him, lift up your eyes now. And look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward. Next verse. For the land which you see, I what? Did he say, I will? He said what? I give you now. So it simply means the whole thing was in God's chest, waiting for Abraham to do the honorable thing of separation. And the moment you separate, say, you can have it, my boy. You can have it, my son. Hear me. Eyes has not seen. Ears has not heard. Neither has it occurred even to your own heart. The things God has in store for them that love him. But God is a jealous God. He cannot share you with that thing. Separate and watch him glorify himself in your life. God bless you and make you who you are.
Thank you for listening to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Ampofo. We believe you've been blessed. Reverend Ampofo is the author of 3 life-changing books. These books are Identifying Great Opportunities, Back to Eden, and Drop That Yam. You can follow Reverend Simon Ampofo on Facebook and Instagram. You can also listen to him on Audio Mac or the Apple Podcast. For inquiries, please call 0552-505083. God bless you as you enjoy grace in abundance.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.